G7, number 22B.
Yes. So what I said before is really the, how shall I say, the pith of laws and how to state a law. So that the law is not just stating something that is not according to categories of being. We always have to see that we are sticking to the categories of being. Yes. Okay. That was the beginning, so to say, of the laws. And from that point on, naturally, I began to be treating or practicing on the basis of laws. That one would take the basis of laws and go through a subject and see it from all the different 16 standpoints, and those 16 standpoints in their 7, for instance, in the prophets. So you can see that there is no end, really, to the evolution, or not to the evolution, no end to the elaboration of a law. Just as you have a little formula for gravitation, little formula with just a few factors in it, with that simple law of gravitation, you can have the billions and billions of experience that have to do with gravitation and can calculate it. Yes. That's what we have to see in science. Then about another 10 years or so, the idea was pushed into a further direction in regard to laws. It was pushed into direction without really knowing about it, just by interpreting really the holy city, the four, where Christ, Christianity and science, interpreting it, what it meant in metaphysical terms, what it means today in our life. And then suddenly the tone changed, or there was the impact from the side of cybernetics that said, I have also four sides. The four sides of input, I repeat it though most of you know it, the input, then the processing of it, and then the result of it, the outcome, the output, and then the fourth, the feeding back to the world. So that we can see is the output, the result, does that conform really to my input? Is it really stating the input? Is it supporting the input? Or is there a difference? Is there a mistake in it? And so the cybernetic law, we begin to see, has not only the self-organization as a positive feedback, when the law is stated correctly, but it also had a negative feedback, namely then when one of the factors was wrong, when there something goes wrong, when there is a mistake, then there is a what they call a negative feedback. So to say, the red light goes on and says something is wrong. You have to think that over again. Is your input right? Is your input big enough? Does it contain enough? Is your process right? Is your Christ attitude right? Or have you interfered with your consciousness into the workings of the Christ? Or the light goes on that says, is your output right? Do you really want your output or not the output of the Christ? There can be a mistake, and so we have a possibility of finding out where in the law of the of the self-organization, something is wrong. And so one sees today what they say, that the cybernetic law is, so to say, mistake-friendly. It is not a mistake that happens and then you are in trouble. That's the law of cause and effect. If the cause is wrong without knowing it, then the effect is wrong, and then we have a wrong effect, and then we just have a hullabaloo about it and say everything goes wrong, everything is a crisis, I have not made my demonstration. You stop there instead of seeing that there is a feedback control that goes right back to the input and says, check on your input, check on your processing, check on your output, check on that, and then you will find the mistake. So it is friendly to find the mistake. It's not damning a mistake. It's not criticizing or damning a mistake. It says to the mistake, I can find you and I can put you straight. I can put you again right. That's the cybernetic system. So we have to see that in that cybernetic system, we actually have a law that is describing the holy city. Namely, the holy city is described in various ways, as we have seen. It's described as a four-sided city, the city four square. The city four square, like this. But it's also described as the city of our God. It's translated to us as an idea of God. It's our God. Then it is also shown that it has four cardinal points of the compass. We call it compass, yeah? It's a compass. You see what happens? That you can calculate infinitely, just as the compass does it. It has, from your side, north. Huh? What is here? From your side, east, huh? West, huh? Yeah, from your side, yes. Okay, it's west. So you can elaborate on that. You have northwest in the middle of it, huh? You have north-northwest, a little bit nearer to north. You can have north-north-northwest, and still a little bit further. And so you have the compass, which is 360 different answers, and those still can be under-divided into seconds and so on. You have a compass which encircles everything, which calculates every direction. Every direction. So the compass is then a symbol of that infinite calculus that has infinite calculation within itself. So this cybernetic system really is that divine infinite calculus which we see. So we see that we have three different levels, so to say, of that holy city. That holy city is not just one New Jerusalem, but has three different levels in it. The level of divine signs in it, the city four square. It has within itself the city of our God. We are going through the doors into the city, so that the city is our city, that absolute Christian science, where I see that everyone can enter it, that every idea is reflecting all the four sides of the city, or I can see that it is those four cardinal points where I have the divine infinite calculus calculating every divine calculation. Every problem can be calculated spiritually through those four-sided city. So from that point on, and we have seen that, somehow at one time a student of mine came along and said, you know, that's exactly what we learn in cybernetics. We have those four sides, input, process, output, feedback. And we not only have this self-organizing system, which is the which is not the law of causality, but in that self-organizing system, you have a positive feedback which says, yes, you have calculated rightly. The things, the problem is solved, is rightly solved. That's on the level of absolute Christian science, where every idea is being calculated as an idea, as an individual idea of the divine principle. Or you have a lower level of cybernetics, namely the negative feedback, which is on the level of Christian science, because on the level of Christian science, we correct with truth every error. So that's another proposition. It's a level of Christian science, truth in relationship to error, and that self-organizing system does correct itself any mistake that has been made. That's the cybernetic law. Have you ever cut your finger? I think you have. Huh? Let's say that. That's a mistake. Haven't you ever wondered why that cut healed itself? You didn't perhaps have to do anything. It began to heal itself. You left it, what we say, to nature. And when it is healed, it has the same pattern on it as before, though every man has another pattern on the finger. A tree strikes exactly the same pattern, the fingerprint, exactly. Do I do something to it? Did I know the pattern of the fingerprint? No. And yet, it happened. That's the self-organizing principle even in the body. Can you see that it is mistake-friendly? A mistake happened and I had a cut in my finger. That's a mistake. But the cybernetic system of the body puts it right again, exactly right again. Have you ever thought that you are breathing? That you must breathe? Never. And yet it breathes. There is a law at work, which is not the law of cause and effect, but it's the cybernetic law at work that breathes, breathing in, breathing out, breathing in, breathing out, in the same rhythm, in the perfect rhythm, yes? And so again we can see a law is at work, a self-operative law is at work. You know, we all need a certain temperature of the blood. Do I control the temperature of the blood? No. I don't even think of it. And it is always the same. It's always the same. And when I get some kind of fever, the doctor, if he's a good doctor, he says, well, that's all right, that's wonderful. It heals itself. I don't have to do anything. If he's a bad doctor, he gives you a medicine. But the good doctor says, that regulates itself. That regulates itself. Because right down again, because there is a mistake-friendly cybernetic law at work also in your body, in your blood pressure, or whatever you call it. So that you have a body that has perhaps 100 or more cybernetic systems working. Constantly working. There are cybernetic systems that reproduce itself always. See, medical people say your lung is reproduced every so and so many months. It's absolutely reproduced. Your liver is reproduced in so and so many weeks, completely reproduced. Every cell is being exchanged, is reproduced. Can you see the homeorese of the cybernetic system? The homeorese, the flow of the whole system changing and still remaining in equilibrium. It rejuvenates or reconstructs practically every organ in our body, within the one within a few weeks, the one in a few months, or perhaps in a few years, but every organ is being reorganized, reestablished, and you don't think of it, and it does it. So, little by little, one began to see, since one had that cybernetic law, that practically everything in the world is working on that law. That even in that pea soup, they see even there already was a self-organizing principle at work. In everything, in nature, all, everywhere is that a self-organizing principle at work. There is not the cause and effect law so important, but the divine infinite calculus, the divine cybernetic law is at work. So, if we have seen that in the universe we find structures and laws that are the same structure everywhere, can you remember yesterday, that are the same everywhere, that are therefore in every field of activity, then we can see that they must also be in the spiritual universe. Or the other way around, because in the spiritual universe there exists a law of self-organization. Also in the material universe shadows forth that same law. So that we, if we investigate the cybernetic law in science, in Christian science, that we actually entertain a consciousness that is so universal that it embraces every individual, collective, and universal experience. Right back to the pea soup. Yes. And with that I wanted to show how important it is to know really those laws. Because those laws are the laws of allness. Yes. Okay. So, I have only about 10 minutes left, and with 10 minutes I can't do very much, what can I do? Actually not very much, because I want to start with a new subject, namely to see. Oh, I can do sort of thing, yes. So, when we come to the textbook and ask that important question, which I said, that is a question that apparently the textbook doesn't answer, I can start out and say, now, what answers does the textbook give? If it doesn't give me the answers I put forward, then at least I should know what kind of answers the textbook is giving. If I want to know what the textbook says about law, what do I do? We repeat that, what I do? I have to go through the whole text. In this case, you perhaps do not need to read from the first sentence to the last sentence, but you can take the concordance and write out all the references on law, where they appear on which page and which line, and then you jolly well have to do some little work then to put those references into chronological order, so that you have a chronological order where the references on law appear,
And then you can start with the study. Then you can start and say, all right, I have now a chronological list, so I start with the first reference in prayer, the second, the third, and so on, well, no matter how many references are in a chapter. But you look first what is stated in one chapter. Not just go on and on and on, but once you have, so to say, pinpointed for you, have a little epitome for what the individual reference is saying, and put that down on, with a few terms, with a few words, you can easily begin to see, sometimes it's not so easily, but you can begin to see the tonality, what a chapter is saying about the term law. Now, we would think that Mrs. Eddy would use the term law more or less all over the place in various ways, and that is not so. She doesn't use it just all over the place in various ways. She only uses it in a very specific way in a chapter. This is always the great surprise, the great wonder. It's Eureka, huh? I got it. Where you feel, where you suddenly feel, oh my word. When I take the first chapter and know something about, and I want to know something about law, I get an answer that I don't get anymore in other chapters. That the second chapter gives a different answer than the first chapter. That the third chapter gives a different answer than the second and first chapter. And you come to the, you stand in awe that a textbook could have been written that way, that every chapter gives a different slant on the subject, here on law, and then you have various answers in every chapter and another answer than in the other chapters, and then you start out thinking, well, did I find the right answer? How can I know that I found the right answer for a chapter? And you can check that. How can you check that? That's then the next step. You check it by saying, and asking, is there an order, a spiritual order, that flows from one chapter to the next chapter, to the next chapter, to the next chapter? If there is no spiritual order, one knows that one hasn't found the right answer, that one has to go over it again and investigate it again and search it again and weigh with one's spiritual ear, did I find the right answer or have I to correct my findings? Are my findings really correct? And little by little you will find out, that's the beauty of that textbook, that the first four chapters give you a common denominator, that the second four chapters give you another common denominator, so with the third, fourth chapter, another common denominator, and so with the fourth chapter, with the last four chapters, another. And you get four big answers that you can put into a matrix and put into the verticals of the matrix. Yes. And in this way, you find first the vertical answers. Then comes usually the most difficult part, namely, do I see a regularity, an ordered sense on the horizontals? Do all the subtones of word, right, on the horizontal, have the same common denominator? And that is usually much more difficult to find that. So, but when you find it and you write it down as the second index, the vertical index we call the index I, and the horizontal index we call the index J, because that's the mathematical formula for a matrix. A matrix is always formulated like this, that the matrix is what? A capital A, that's the subject of the whole matrix, and then subscript, you have the indices I and J. I and J. So you have the columns vertically down as the I index, and the columns that go horizontally, the J index, and you get 16 points of intersection. So in that way, we can prove to ourselves, did we find the right answer? If our findings correspond to the point of intersection at every point of this 16 point of intersection correspond really to the vertical and to the horizontal, you know, yes, I think I got it right. And so we prove to ourselves from the books if our findings are right. I don't have, that's so important because a student is always, 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 since the beginning that John Dolley began to teach, they always try to make things fit. I always went up the palm and the colleagues were saying, well, I found out this and that and it fits perfectly. Well, how does it fit? Does it have to fit what he found out? He has first to prove it, that what he found out is right. And he can prove it through an impersonal measurement, through an impersonal gauge, we call it gauge, standard. Does it correspond to the index I and J? Does every point of intersection really give the tone of the I and J? Then he can have some kind of security that he has, that his findings are right. Can you see that we try to approach the textbook and its content in a scientific way and not in a personal inspirational way? The personal inspirational way is not worth anything. But if we approach it through a scientific method, then it is impersonal, and then it is true, then it is absolute, and then we can rely on it. Yes. So this afternoon we are going to see if we can build up such a matrix on law. Okay.